Welcome back to Camp Half Pod. We are your head counselors. I'm Erin, daughter of Athena.
And I'm Manasa, daughter of Persephone. This week we're discussing chapters 19 through 24 of The Burning Maze. Some shocking information was dropped, some tea was spilt in these chapters.
We're getting some teen romance drama. And you know what? I think that's what this was missing.
I
think Heroes of Olympus had too much of it. I wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Percy Jackson had the perfect amount.
Yes.
Perfect. It was perfect. And this, we're finally getting some interesting spice.
Yeah. And I think it's extra fun. So Percy Jackson... Percy is like the most oblivious child in the world. So it's really fun to read that point of view. Yeah.
Heroes of Olympus. And there was the love triangle.
And there was the love triangle.
I was thinking about that the other day for some reason, because I was thinking about the idea of if Annabeth had a gun, that just stuck in my mind. And then I was like, for a moment, like, she would have killed Rachel.
She would have gone to jail for murder. Yeah. Like, double homicide.
Murdered Rachel and then murdered Percy.
She's like misogyny one, but also so did murder.
So did me.
Well, because then I was going to say Heroes of Olympus, there's too many perspectives. So you don't get the drama in the same way. But this one, the narrator is as invested in drama as we are.
Yes. And
so it's delightful to read.
Same. Like, he's always like, what happened there? I noticed she grimaced when he said that.
Yeah.
What does that mean? And I'm like, same.
Exactly. Whereas, like, in Percy Jackson, like, Annabeth is, like, literally on the floor tearing out her hair, like, so upset. She has a crush on this boy. And Percy's like, that's weird. I wonder why that's happening. Maybe it's something like, to do with her father.
She's so mad.
Oh, man. So I was very happy with this. So,
yes,
no complaints on these chapters. One complaint. Yeah. I wanted the horse to come back.
Same. I did, too. I'm, like, waiting for him. I know they can't have introduced him for him not to come back. I don't remember.
If he does, that but I'm assuming only appearance.
Why is that somehow funnier?
That's amazing.
A couple of hooves clip-clopping.
And a cell phone, apparently.
I think he'll be back and it'll be like all we can talk about for that episode. It'll be like when something major happens and we'll be like, but the horse was there. So take that. But yeah, we're like halfway through this book, I realized. I was like, oh.
It's
moving fast.
It's moving faster than Dark Prophecy, which moved much faster than the Lost Oracle.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Hidden Oracle. That's what it was. It wasn't lost. Yeah.
It wasn't lost. It was hidden.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like a deep quote.
It was just lost.
Tumblr quote. Yeah.
No, it was just hidden. I forgot what I said. Okay, great. I was going to say, if you all suddenly notice me responding to the 600 emails that I have had that have been in my backlog since about April, I finished school. So I am now done with homework for the rest of my life. So
Except for this.
But this is a fun book report. Yes. That's
so true.
Literally finished doing this like maybe 10 minutes ago. So procrastinating on everything still.
But, that's okay.
I should be better at emails. I noticed a couple people who emailed joined our Discord. So that's pretty cool.
Yay. That's exciting.
And that's a lot more... you don't have to wait 3 months to get a response for validating your feeling. I will now most likely respond to you much faster on Discord. And there are other people on Discord who will talk to you and are brilliant.
Oh, yes.
And yes.
Yes.
So, yeah. So that's exciting. Yeah.
Love our little peoples.
Our little peoples, our little group. It's very lovely. Mm-hmm. My favorite are the people who send me, like, download YouTube shorts or TikToks or take videos on their phone of Like, I got one of Phineas and Ferb, a recording of someone watching TV of Phineas and Ferb to send me, like, a scene. That was my favorite email of all time. I got one that was just like, this is my dog, and 8 pictures of their dog. And that was also one of my favorite emails.
I'm so glad. I think that's how we should be using email. I think, you know, the future generation uses email correctly, actually.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm tired of professional emails, which is like send people my thoughts at 2 in the morning and then not reply during work hours, actually. Yeah.
There's no hello, there's no sign off, mm-hmm. there's just a sentence with my thought on it, no context, and maybe a picture or 2 attached.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, to talk about what we're going to be talking about this episode, we're going to meet up with Jason, hear his prophecy, and then we're going to head to Santa Barbara.
Finally, you get the prophecy. I always get stuck with the prophecies. So, I mean, I don't think it's not quite the prophecy that we got last time. That was like 25 paragraphs long, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's something.
It's more of like a child is telling me the prophecy after they've heard it. Mm-hmm. So it's less, yeah. it's already summarized, which is nice because I didn't want to have to do like the game show answers. The boggle.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, the boggle. All right. I've got chapters 19 through 21. So chapter 19, in my underclothes, slathered with grease. Really not as fun as it sounds. Made me laugh. Does that sound fun?
Does not sound fun at all.
Don't yuck someone's yum, mm-hmm. to each their own.
I hate that saying.
Wow.
Don't yuck someone's yum.
That was a working in sex ed saying that I picked up.
They said that about sex stuff? That's worse.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I feel like there's better ways to...
Yum. Yeah. Yuck is fine. The yum part is gross.
The yum. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to yuck on all your yums.
Don't nay someone's gay. Maybe that's a... That's the horse's version. All right. So they barely make it out of the maze alive, having booked it out of there from Medea and Helios as they're like exploding things. They find Grover out there and immediately collapse. While passed out, Apollo has one of his memory dreams. He's at a party in ancient Rome, the grand opening celebration for Caligula's newest palace. Apollo is in attendance disguised as a gladiator, and Caligula is incredibly sacrilegious. His palace is knocking out the back wall of the temple of Castor and Pollux, which makes the Roman elites aghast. Many of the gods, however, did nothing to stop this, because despite it being risque and, like, sacrilegious, the Caesars actually expanded the power of the gods by spreading their influence across a huge part of the world through colonialism, and the gods were like, we like that. So they actually don't mind what's going on here, or they kind of let it slide. Caligula is there at the party. He's actually wearing nothing. He's painted in gold from head to foot with a sun crown on his head. I was like, he sounds like he's at a rave. Like, I don't want the
what
visual.
A look, yeah.
But I will say, him and Commodus, way more fun of villains than Nero. Nero doesn't have the outfits.
No. Nero actually, like, canonically dresses poorly.
Yeah. He's nothing like, Commodus had his, whatever, leopard print, lion thong? Skin yeah. thong, and Caligula's naked, painted mm-hmm. in gold. Nero needs to up the pizzazz.
Yeah.
So Caligula proclaims to the group to be the new sun, the new Helios, the new Apollo. We then get a glimpse of how unhinged this man really is, as if the nudify didn't solidify that. He decides to make one of his senators his personal slave. He just, like, calls on a random guy and is like, you there, you're gonna be my slave now. And then he calls forward a man who wrote a satire piece about him and is like, what a great piece you wrote. In honor of it, I'm going to cut your tongue off, dip it in molten silver, and display it in the forum. So he clearly didn't think it was a great piece. Caligula then turns on Apollo, who's there in disguise, and asks who he is. He's like, I don't recognize you. And Apollo claims to be an actor and is surprisingly, like, let off the hook by Caligula's evil, and then he leaves Rome and is like, I am not going back there anytime soon. Then the dream changes and he sees Herophile again, the Sibyl of Eurythraea, reaching out her shackled arms, her face lit red by lava. She tells him that he must come to her and he must hold them together in their grief. He then wakes up screaming, laying in a sleeping bag in the cistern, covered in goo from aloe vera and wearing nothing but his underwear, because they're all, like, scorched from this, from the burning in the maze and the sun god. The amount of sun damage that Apollo has been through.
His
and
skin.
Meg, too. She's been at both of these, like, all these instances.
Whew. Yeah, these events, like, his skin must be just, like, the amount of skin cancer they're going to find on him the next couple years.
Yeah, it's not good. No wonder he's like, I need to get back to being a god
soon. Something's going to kill me and it's going to be skin cancer.
Yeah. Yep. Piper and Meg are both there too. They're also asleep and covered in aloe. Grover says that they should all pull through. Moneymaker, however, the dryad who was in the maze did not make it. She did not make that money.
Stop. A man is dead.
A woman.
Oh, a woman? Moneymaker's a woman?
Yeah, she is. Shake that moneymaker. Remember, there's very few male dryads.
Oh, that's
there's
true.
Just Joshua. Just joshing around. Apollo thinks of one. Okay. Apollo thinks of what Herophile said to him in his vision about grief, and he fears that Moneymaker's death may be just the beginning of all the grief that is to come. Apollo promises that when Meg and Piper wake up, they'll have another meeting with the dryads and come up with a plan to stop the burning maze once and for all. Chapter 20. O Muse, let us now sing in praise of botanists. They do plant stuff. Yay. So everyone is not doing too hot, pun intended, but they gather for the Council of War. Apollo briefs everyone about what he guesses is Caligula's end goal, to consume Apollo and Helios's essences and become the new sun god. He's like, he wants to eat my soul and Helios's soul. Like, Medea has been helping him prepare for that. The burning maze is basically, like, he describes it as a giant cooking pot for sun god soup.
I can't imagine what Caligula's vision board looks like when he was presenting this. To triumvirate, he's like, this is the plan. There's like
that would be so fun. That's a good like PowerPoint night prompt is like present your evil villain plan, you know?
Yeah, that'd be so fun.
Like, I'm gonna consume the gods and consume their power.
Yeah.
These are the outfits. He had an outfit board.
Yeah, and it was just him naked. Yeah.
Outfits, come on, this nothing just, except his shoes, his little shoes that he needs to get through the maze.
100% Komodo saw this PowerPoint and was looking at all the like stock images of different animals that he's put on there that he's like, I need to weaponize these. And he's like, damn,
yes,
I forgot about the gold paint.
Komodo's PowerPoint is just ostriches
and different teeth he can put on them.
Yeah. And then Nero's is like an actually like deeply thought out plan of like manipulating children and they're all like boring, skip.
But like, you know, Nero's is like done with like the most boring gray template.
Yes.
Caligula's is Comic Sans green on a blue background. And Commodus has like the transition animations that make you kind of want to vomit. Yes.
It has the ostrich like swirl around on the page.
Every time he comes and just lands there.
I want to be involved in, like, I want to go to them presenting this. Put me so on the board.
I feel like, and it's also fun, you know, we start booing Nero when he starts talking about, like, genocide and, like, the actual bad stuff. But when, like, Commodus is just like, I need a budget of $17 billion for this project.
We're like, yes, sold.
Yeah. He's like, I need a backup race car for when I flip with a first race car.
And a lot of basketballs.
Yes.
That was my favorite part. Caligulus is just like fire. We're like, yeah, sold.
Yes, sold. He's like, I'm planning on becoming the sun god. And you're like, oh, interesting. What is your 7-step plan to achieve this?
Soup. Sun god soup. That's some good soup. So, yeah, that's what they guess Caligula's plan is. It's, you know, I really want to see that PowerPoint. Someone needs to make that. I would say we would, but I feel like we won't. But, you know, yeah. In a burst of energy.
Maybe, yeah. If I get a burst of energy, I'll make it.
Yeah, yeah. At 3 a.m. So the fires of Helios, in combo with climate change, are what have been responsible for killing the land. Meg is like, well, we have to kill a Caligula. And Apollo's a little like, that's a lot to hear from a 12-year-old's mouth, because she's like, no matter what. And she explains that he hurt her dad and now he's killing the land. Therefore, he needs to die. Not everyone else knows about the history of her dad and this specific land. So Meg and Apollo take this time to fill everyone in on who Meg really is and how her dad created this place. Piper recalls how Medea called Meg a descendant of Plemnaeus, which causes all the dryads to become fangirls about it. They're like, oh my god, the Plemnaeus? I don't know if I'm saying that right. It kind of makes me think of Plum Bob, like from The Sims. And
what?
The Plum Bob in The Sims, that's the green thing above their heads.
It has an, oh yeah, it has
It's called the Plum Bob. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad that's the first thing you think of.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it works. Well, he was Plemnaeus, not Plum Bob, was a Greek king whose children were all born under a curse. If any of them cried during their infancy, they would just die instantly, which, that's rough.
That's rough.
He appealed to Demeter, and she herself raised his next son, Orthopolis, so that he would live. Plemnaeus then created a temple to Demeter in thanks, and ever since, his offspring have been, and like descendants, have been great agriculturalists and botanists. So Meg's dad, and therefore Meg, was a descendant of this ancient figure. Kind of like how Frank was a descendant of that one dude.
Yeah. And then it's like the descendant, but then you also then are mixed again with, like, it's essentially like this is a bad... comparison, but if we made the One Direction boys immortal.
Okay.
And they helped, like, they're immortal and they, you know, they're fangirls. Their mm-hmm. fangirls had children and mm-hmm. generations of children. And then Harry Styles comes by and knocks one of them up. That child would be the
would be really blessed by One Direction.
I think, and just like, it's like the fact that they are the fangirls of, like, all of his entire lineage is like huge patrons of Demeter, and then the Meg's dad has a baby with Demeter. Like,
that's
a lot.
He wins. Like, that's, isn't that what the fangirls would want?
He wins the family reunion.
Yeah. He's like, well, guys, you guys just, like, have posters of her up.
Yeah, exactly.
I made a daughter.
We got down and dirty, if that's how she does it. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, dirt.
Dirt, plants. Yeah. Yeah, the One Direction thing was a little bit, I lost the plot a little bit there.
No, I liked it. Go on. Do people know what One... I saw something that young people don't know what One Direction is anymore.
I mean, that's fair. They were just kind of a blip.
Is it? Yeah, they were. I mean, I wasn't even that into them. And I'm like... But they were like a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, I think it's like a... I mean, boy bands have always been... Like, since the Beatles. Like, boy bands have always just really gained... Women are incredible fans.
Like, except the Beatles is a lot of men like the Beatles. And I feel like men would be really offended by comparing the Beatles to One Direction. But it's all just boy bands, you know?
But, like, the reason, like, the Beatles in, like, when in their heyday, like, it was girls, like women, like, yeah, like flocking to them, like taking off their shirts, throwing their panties on stage, like Elvis. Like women, when they love hard, they go insane. We're feral creatures.
We are feral creatures of the forest.
And of course, like now, the older men will like hold on to it, like, because it was, again, a cultural phenomenon. The Beatles were everywhere. And so like a lot of people will hold on to like their records and be like, well, also, like, you know, I want to discredit women all the time, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, so if Paul McCartney had a baby with one of these men's children, no, or one of these men, who knows, that would be the equivalent,
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's a little bit weird, but sure.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the plot.
Where even was I? Oh, they also go back after this to discussing the plan. So they also return to the plot, just like us. So on track. Apollo is like, we should just stick to our original plan of finding the Sybil. He knows who they need to talk to get help getting through the maze, Jason Grace, because he found the Oracle and didn't tell anyone what it said to him. They also need Caligula's shoes, as mentioned, to navigate the maze safely, which Medea told them about, again, with the villains just telling them things. Their plan is to consult Jason Grace to learn how to get to the Sybil. According to Piper, he's been living at a boarding school in Pasadena.
Well, okay, so Benton, you have spent hours making a lovely PowerPoint. I would also want to tell the people involved in my, like the heroes, the amount of work I put into my plan.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. But Medea, maybe this was part of his, he's like, you need to drop the shoe information to Apollo so that he sees my shoes, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Like he needs, I want him to see my shoes. I want him to try to find them. I want him to succeed in getting to the Oracle so that I can kill him then. That's probably what it is.
I can also imagine Medea didn't get a PowerPoint. She only got like a small 5-minute elevator pitch presentation. Yeah. So she has a lot of energy she has to get out.
Yeah. But she heard she can torture Jason and Piper and was like, I'm in. They wronged me at my mall. All right. Chapter 21. When life gives you seeds, plant them in dry, rocky soil. I'm an optimist. Apollo dreams about the state of his oracle in Delphi, so he hears and sees Nero saying that it's under control, and Python is like, actually, nothing has been under control since Apollo fell to this earth, and Python's very much like the big baddie, like, you can tell he's more in charge.
I forgot about him. I've been so focused on these three, and I was like, oh, right! There's a snake.
Yeah, like, he's more threatening. Well, also because Nero's painted as, like, the worst of that. Well, I don't know. Apollo seems to think Caligula's worse than Nero, but.
Well, he thought Commodus like, was worse than Nero, then he thought Nero was the worst of them all. He's just like continuously shocked, yeah.
Yeah. But I think like Nero is the more distant. We haven't seen him. We haven't fought him in a bit. We've seen him, but we haven't like fought him in a few books. So he's getting more of a buildup. But then every time we see him in these visions, he's cut. I'm like, where's the pizzazz? And the snake is overshadowing him. The snake, that is that who they presented to? The snake?
Oh, 100%. Python's the head of the board.
Yeah, he is.
They have just like to keep his attention every once in a while. They just like throw a mouse up there and they just like see if he can.
Yeah. So Python is not a fan of how things are going. He thinks that Commodus is stupid. He thinks Caligula is manipulating Nero. He's like, yeah, well, who's really in charge? Like, clearly Caligula has his ulterior motives and Nero's just letting Caligula do his own weird maze thing. He's just like letting him do his, I love that Caligula has this complicated plan and Nero's like, fine, just do what you need to do. And Python's like, Caligula is doing his own thing. Why are you not stopping him? Python implores Nero to hold up his end of the bargain and kill Apollo. Nero promises that Meg will come back to him and serve him. And then Apollo wakes up. He finds Meg in the greenhouse with her seeds in her hands. Not just any seeds, it's actually the hexagonal seeds that were, like, from the visions in the past chapters. And she said she had a dream about their location and found them where they'd been hidden for her to return to one day. She plants them just, like, in the desert dirt, and nothing happens. Meg sits and watches the seeds for a moment and asks Apollo where her mom is. She says, if her family really is so important, why hasn't her mom ever come to help her? As a former god, Apollo knows the answers are likely that Demeter's too busy, she's distracted, she probably forgot Meg existed because she has tons of kids. Mm. But he tells Meg that he doesn't know where she is, but knows that she'd be proud of Meg, which was a nice edit. Yeah. But I liked that he also reflected and, like, kind of recognized that he knew the answer because that's how he was.
Yeah.
Meg, Apollo, and Piper then pile into the Bedrosian car that Piper stole and head towards Jason. They make it to Edgerton Day and boarding school, and Piper charm speaks her way past the security guards. Despite Piper's claim that her and Jason were distant, she has his whole schedule memorized. So clearly, like, they weren't that distant. They were still talking, or he is still very much a part of her mind.
Yeah.
She charm speaks the teacher into letting Jason leave class, and then a moment later, he meets them in the hallway. According to Apollo, he's had a bit of a glow up. Like, Apollo's like, he looks nice. I'm like, calm down. Why is everyone trying to tell us Jason is hot?
I know.
He has, his hair is all short, cropped short. He is wearing his glasses, which I do love that he has glasses now.
It, like, makes him more endearing, for sure.
It does. And he's, like, carrying his books under his arm. Jason already knows who Meg and Apollo are. Apparently, he's been waiting for them. He leads them back to his dorm room to talk. Of my notes for this, already mentioned that. I liked, there's a moment when Apollo wakes up from that dream when Nero is mentioning that Meg will return to him. He's sure of it. I liked that he has a moment where he thinks of his relationship with Zeus and parallels it to Meg's relationship with Nero. And he questions, you know, if Zeus came down and was like, you can have all your power back in godhood, you just need to, like, abandon this cause. He questions what he would do. He's like, I don't know if I'd be strong enough to say no. Because, like, A, Zeus has a manipulative power over him, and also B, he wants to be a god again. And he wonders if Meg would go back to Nero if manipulated like that and, like, offered all the things that she had before. So I like his empathy there. Mm-hmm. And my one other note is that I just love how easily Piper uses charm speak now. We know,
she's so good at it.
We struggled with her in Heroes of Olympus the whole time being like, well, should I? But now she's just like, let us into this school. Let Jason leave class.
Let me steal your car.
Yeah. Give me your cars. It's great. And I love that she's not torn up about it anymore.
Maybe it's better that we're not reading her point of view, too.
Yeah. Maybe she is torn up about it.
Yeah, we just don't have to read about it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I have chapters 22 through 24. So chapter 22. For my school project, I made this pagan temple Monopoly board. Jason leads everyone back to his very lame dorm room, and Apollo catches him up on everything, including the shocking fact that Leo is alive. There's a moment when Apollo tells Jason this. He's like, Leo's alive, he's fine, he has a girlfriend now. And Jason just, like, looks over at Piper, and Piper's like, yeah, dude, I know, all the time we spent fighting and worrying about him, and he's just, like, getting laid, you know? Like, it kind of sucks.
That's a great point. Like, he's just been, like, having a pretty good time, I'm sure.
Piper is behaving very calmly, not at all how Apollo imagined she would seeing her ex.
Jason, like, Apollo is like, where's the fighting?
Yeah.
Where's the, like, throwing things at each other? That's what I wanted.
Well, he knows how he keeps, like, relating to her and being like, mm-hmm. I too have had my heart broken. And then he's watching her be, like, a human, like, friend to her ex and being very civil. And he's like, I could never.
Yeah.
Jason has a huge Monopoly board with the layout of Camp Jupiter at his room and all the temples that he ideally wants to build for the minor gods. He's pretty much mapped most of it out, but he still needs Annabeth's expertise to fully finish it. Piper prompts Jason to talk about his experience in the burning maze. She's furious at him, but so she's not really letting him have any wiggle room.
He just wants to talk about his little models.
He does, and she's like, no, focus.
I love that he just has his little project. Like, he's like, I just want to make my little
houses, I know. Mm-hmm. And he's like, has a sketchbook of all how he thinks the temple mm-hmm. should be built. And he's like, Annabeth needs to, like, actually tell me. Like, it's like the way that you would try to draw something that you think would work. And then it's like, actually, mm-hmm. structurally, this would break in 2 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
He needs a real architect, but he has ideas.
Yeah.
So Jason apparently had reached Sybil, who told him that the entire maze was a trap for Apollo, but he was the only one who could rescue her and therefore needed to come, which we knew this already. She told him where to find the Emperor and that Apollo would need to get a pair of his shoes from wherever that is. Jason's like, I don't know what that means. And Apollo's like, don't worry about it. We do. Jason is sorry for not telling Piper the whole truth. He says he did it to protect her. He knew she would have tried to go after Caligula, regardless of what Sybil had said, and he would have followed. And because they were fighting so much, they wouldn't have done well working as a team, and they probably would have ended up hurting themselves and each other. Instead, he decided to wait until Apollo and the others actively came to find him, which Sybil had told him they would. Jason agrees to help them, says that they will need a car and an excuse to get him out of classes. Piper and Meg decide to head to the offices so Piper can do her charm speak, and Apollo volunteers to stay back and help Jason get ready. Once they're alone, Apollo demands to know what Sybil really said and what parts Jason was leaving out again. Can't hide shit from Apollo, son. Chapter 23. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Wait, actually it's not. So that entire haiku is based off of the first paragraph where Apollo is just like, Jason, like, takes off a sweater, like takes off his like coat, and he's wearing a sweater. And the way he takes it off reminds Apollo of what's his name? Mr. Rogers. I was like, Mr. Robinson. That's wrong. Mr. Rogers. And he just like hyperfixates that on for like two paragraphs.
I'm like, okay, what is anyway. He was just telling us earlier that Jason looked good, and now he's like, actually, he looks like an old man.
Well, Jason is Apollo's brother, so Apollo doesn't see him in that way.
That's true. Yeah. That's true, yeah.
Jason confides in Apollo. The Sybil told him that if Piper and Jason went after the Emperor, one of them would die.
Hold on. Why did he hit on Talia?
No, he has a moment that he's like, he looks at Talia's photo in Jason's room, and he's like, I hit on her. That's so gross. Okay, I want to think about.
Cause right,
I
don't, right, right.
Yeah. Which is...
I feel like he was still flirting in the last book.
Yeah, and also when he hit on her last time, too, he knew she was Zeus's daughter. It wasn't like a secret or anything. So, I don't know. I think Rick is just changing his mind. He's like, in order to make Apollo more likable, he has to not be into incest, even though all the gods are.
That's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, so someone's gonna die. That's what we find out. Apollo is confused by this and wonders if there could be like a double meaning, but Jason is sure that it is death and that Sybil hinted it was a permanent and final death. And unless Apollo managed to have a vial of the physician's cure, this is a death no one was coming back from. Jason had withheld this information from Piper to protect her. He knows that if Piper dies, it would completely destroy her already fragile father. She was due to leave in a week anyway, so he had hoped she would go and that he could have gone by himself to go after Caligula. Apollo notes how young Jason looks at this moment. He considers all of Jason's experiences with loss and trauma and realizes that Jason's not thinking rationally, and it would be crazy for Apollo to expect him to do so in this situation. So, like, he's just like, dude, like, Apollo, like, Piper would also be devastated if you die. Like, how would you think she would feel when she found this out later after you've died? And Jason's, like, turning red and feeling really flustered. And Apollo's like, has a moment of empathy for his brother.
Mm.
Apollo tries to speak to him softly that Piper would be devastated if Jason died, and there's no way to avoid a prophecy. Keeping secrets, especially deadly secrets from friends, never really works. They need to work together in order to defeat Caligula and get away without anyone dying. Jason and Apollo talk about their father. Apollo mentions that much of his memory is fuzzy and that he has like a 6-month gap he can't account for in between getting the punishment and waking up as Lester. He learns that Jason tried to stick up for him when Zeus was punishing him, something that really touches Apollo, who is used to his family constantly stabbing him in the back. Jason begs that no matter what happens, that once Apollo is a god again, he will remember what it's like to be human. Apollo agrees. Now he has learned a lot more about human fragility and strength, and he feels different towards mortals. As they leave to join the girls, Apollo asks for the tea on Piper. He's like, what happened between you guys? You guys are such a power couple. And we learn that Piper actually broke up with him.
Oh.
And it was like months before they even went into the maze. So what we had, or at least I had been believing, and I think what Apollo had been believing, was that they had been together, but their relationship had been falling apart. They go into the maze. Jason gets this prophecy, and Jason just like ghosts Piper and goes and lives in this boarding school. And that's how they broke up, because Melly is really mad at Jason. So it was like very much felt like Jason's fault. But we find out they've been broken up for a while. And my, like, I don't know, my jaw was on the floor. I was like, good for her, honestly.
I feel like my main memory from this book is just like the Piper Jason tea. Like, I just remember being like so shook that they broke up. I was like, Rick really did that.
It's not usual, because they're like, Rick spent an entire series trying to like force us to accept this couple as a power couple, as a, like a very stable and loving couple. And it's not what I saw. And so clearly he's like, again, did listen to his focus group and was like, okay, so break that couple up.
He's like, all right, we'll get rid of those two. Add some drama. Add some drama.
All right, chapter 24, Santa Barbara, fame for surfing, fish tacos, and crazy Romans. The Escalade has been towed, so Piper borrows a school van instead. Jason directs them towards Santa Barbara, and the road trip begins. Jason tells them that he's already been in the area scouting with his Ventus horse, Tempest. Sybil apparently told Jason that he would find Caligula there, and it's one of the places he stops because his palace is actually a boat, which has made him very difficult for Piper and Jason to track down. Jason also decides that this is the moment to tell Piper about the death part of the prophecy while they're all having to sit together in the car. Piper is furious but empathetic to Jason's decision to withhold information. Paula notes that they have great and easy communication, and they still seem like they're best friends. So he's like, what changed so much that you guys broke up?
He's so invested.
I mean, he's just the same way. This is how I look at people's relationships, too. I'm so nosy.
Yeah. Especially people I don't, like people that I don't really know that I just follow on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know? And you see that you're like, they haven't posted their boyfriend in a while. And I'm just like, when did they break up? When did it happen?
Well, it's so funny because I've always complained. I'm like, if I follow someone and they suddenly break up with their significant other, but they've been posting so much about them, I need them to post like a breakup post. Then one of my friends actually did that. And I watched, I was just like, I had such mixed feelings about it. I was like, this is interesting.
Yeah. No, I feel like that's a thing like you do if you're like an influencer. But even then, I find it, when I see influencers who've broken up, and there'll be people I don't even follow, like I'm like, for some reason it came up somewhere on my feed, I will like go down such a rabbit hole looking at their feeds and being like, well, they posted together 3 days before. They were lying. Were they together? I'm like, what was going on?
Yeah.
In this photo, she's looking away. Like, I just, I go really deep.
It's always for me when someone posts on, like, a birthday or anniversary, and it's, like, several paragraphs long. I was like, girl, what did he do to you? It's like, we've been through such hard times together. I'm like, what did he do?
And then they break up like a few months later, and you stop seeing things, and you're like, oh, so that was like trying to fix things.
Yes. Or if my favorite is if like I follow both partners, like one of them posts like a really long thing, or like especially with like straight couples, like the guy starts posting longer posts for her and she starts getting shorter. I'm like, oh, it's about to happen.
Uh-oh, shit went down.
Yeah, so Apollo, you and I would have a great time just sitting there analyzing people's relationships.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he doesn't know and I don't know either. I would like to know the tea. They get to Santa Barbara and spend the afternoon canvassing the place. They don't find anything of value and end up grabbing fish tacos at a beachside cafe. As they enjoy their meal, Jason stands up and points into the sea. A huge yacht seems to materialize in front of them. It's like extremely large. It has room enough for two helicopters on board. Mm. As they try to decide what to do next, an identical large yacht appears next to the first one. Apollo guesses that the boats cost about $500 million. Apollo says that Caligula is redoing the Bridge of Boats. Back in ancient times, Caligula received a prophecy as a boy that it was as likely of him riding a horse across the bay as it was for him to be able to become emperor. So when he did become emperor, he ordered the construction of a fleet of super yachts, lined the boats up like a bridge, and then rode across them on his horse, which I love
his style. I love that. I love it. He's so fun.
He's so fun. Was it a bee
horse? Did he ride on bee horse?
It has to be. Like, that's the whole point of that horse. And he was like, I rode that horse across the bay, and now it can answer phones and play, like, Wordle. Like, it's crazy.
Plays Wordle.
The mortal police are even helping direct traffic, and mortals are keeping the amount of boats. Like, they're like... at one point, Piper notes that, like, even Commodus hadn't tried to, like, get mortals involved as much. Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't get a chance. He cleared the city before he even attacked Apollo. This is, like, a different level of extravagance than showing off. Apollo states that to find Caligula, they should start with the middle ship, which is the weakest point of a chain. And they head that way. My notes are literally just more about Jason and Piper.
Yes.
I was like, Melly is mad at
your theories. Because, like, I feel like my main standout memory from this whole series is the Jason Piper tea, because I was so satisfied that they'd broken up.
Okay, so this is kind of, this is me pulling in things that I've absorbed from the internet. So I noticed that people put Piper sometimes in, like, under the umbrella, the gay umbrella of characters. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were projecting that onto her or if Rick decided that she was going to be gay, because it would be very funny. Like, it would be like just peak lesbianism of, like, a girl to just, like, choose a guy who's the most bland and who's on paper really attractive and date him because everyone has says that he's attractive. Mm-hmm. And then, like, her becoming 17, kind of finding her own confidence is her being like, women are actually better than this. I've actually never been attracted to you. But that doesn't make any sense for why Melly is mad at Jason. So what if Jason is gay? But I feel like a lot of people wouldn't have hated him as a bland man as much if, in Trials of Apollo, he became, like, a gay man. I think people would have really loved, especially, unfortunately, people tend to love white gay men. So
that's true.
So I was just like, okay, maybe that's not it. Maybe I'm in the wrong field. If Melly is really mad at Jason, was there, like, another woman involved? I just can't imagine Jason having the energy along with his temples and projects to also look at another girl. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. Another woman
was his Monopoly board. It's just, it's the Monopoly man.
So the Melly being mad about at Jason ruins all of my theories. So I don't... Because it's just like, it seems like Piper realized that she liked him as a friend. Because he doesn't seem too, he just seems kind of a little bit awkward around her, but he doesn't seem like devastated. If Annabeth broke up with Percy, Percy would be face down somewhere for like the next 12 months. Or he'd be like
murdering things. He'd go dark Percy. Yeah. It would not be a good look.
Whereas Jason's
like, he'd be in Tartarus again, like, this is where I belong.
This is where I belong. Yeah, exactly.
This place reminds me of her.
God, so dramatic. Whereas Jason is just kind of like, go join some boarding school for boys. Like, it's like a nerdy room. Like, it's just like so funny. I just don't know. It seems like, but it seems like both of them were just kind of like, we don't really like each other that way. I just don't understand. Melly just like, just doesn't like Jason's vibe and was just like, I'm taking your side of the breakup.
I don't know.
I said that my other note is that I think Jason's a lot more endearing in this book, in this series.
Yeah.
he's like blushing, he's making mistakes, he's like a little awkward, he's human instead of whatever the heck. He was just kind of a blank slate in Heroes of Olympus. That could also be it. Piper was just like, I can't have a conversation with you. Yeah. You're so boring.
She's like, what are you into? And he's like, Monopoly. He's like, model houses.
And like, when Annabeth does it, it's cute. When he does it, it's insane. So...
He's so still like, boring. Bursting would be like, I love that for you.
I know. Exactly. I mean, so like Jason is still boring, but he's just more tolerable. And like,
he's like boring in a cuter way, I think.
In a much cuter way.
I agree.
My last note is like, my prediction is that Caligula's shoes are going to be like green Gucci loafers that Apollo has to steal, because there's no way these are going to be normal tennis shoes.
Oh, no.
They're going to be something ridiculous.
Yeah. There's no, like, this man spray painted his body gold. Like,
yeah.
He's got flair. Pizzazz.
So those are all my notes.
Amazing. I'm excited to get to the next chunk of chapters. Mm. So for our lightning bolt questions, we got this one was sent to us by Ale on Instagram, I believe. What shoe would you choose to guide you through the maze? Like, if you know, Caligula is probably going to have some Gucci loafers. So, yes. Like, what would be your shoe that other people would have to put on to guide them through your maze? Oh,
100%, like, high-top Nike Air Force Ones. Those are, like, white high-top Converse. Those were, like, my shoes. All throughout, like, high school and college, and even now I have another pair. Like, I always have at least one pair of those.
Nice. That's a solid. And they look cute, right?
And they look cute. And you can wear them with dresses. And I like wearing, like, high tops because I think that they make me look taller a little bit.
If you're going into the Burning Maze in a dress, you'll still be able to look you cute. You still don't look worry, cute. Folks.
And they're functional. Worry. Can you try to imagine running away from Medea in Gucci loafers?
Yeah. Maybe that's part of the plan. Yeah. Like, and also, my shoe's not easy to run. I think my answer would be my Chacos.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I wear Chacos, like, all for the, you know, 4 months here where it's not raining. That's all I wear in the summer. And I feel like they're like the best. They're walkable. They're waterproof. Don't know if they're fireproof. I think they have yet to make that
requirement. Version, yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be, that would be like my go-to shoes. I do think the idea of someone having to wear my exact shoes is funny because I think I have like fairly small feet as a fairly small person. And so that idea of like a man trying to fit in my size, like 5.5 foot is really, it's very funny.
I just, for comic reasons, I would definitely say like stiletto heels.
Yeah. That would be, it would be
Jason
good.
Running like, would through you the have maze to do it? In stiletto
Jason,
heels.
Jason doing
Jason specifically.
Iconic. He'd rock it. Yes. And then which Greek, like, figure, not god, so, like, ancient figure, would you most want to be the descendant of? Like, how Meg's the descendant of Plum Bob?
just for, like, good looks and fighting power, Achilles. Not all the other trauma that comes with it, but just for the good looks.
Yeah. Yeah. But then would you be, like, cursed to, like, die young always? I feel like that's his... Or to be too...
No, I think I'd just be hot.
Yeah, that's fair. I was thinking Helen of Troy to be hot.
But then
there's not as much... I mean, there is a lot of... I would cause a lot of drama.
Yeah.
But, like, imagine being that, like, so powerful just because you're that hot.
You're just so hot, yeah. I could see that. I think it'd be really funny just cause drama, especially because, like, you're already wifed up, so you're just causing extra drama.
Yeah, that's true. Just imagine, it would be fun to, like, go through adolescence as the descendant of Helen of Troy, just to, like, see what it would have been like, you know?
Yeah. Just to see how, like, harassed he would be.
That's true. Actually, it would probably, like, not be very safe.
No, that's why the fighting part comes in handy with Achilles.
Yeah, Achilles is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Would you rather travel by luxury plane, yacht, or train?
Train.
Yes, what I said. That's a really easy question.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've been looking at a lot of, like, TikToks on, like, luxury trains used to look like. Like the Orient Express and stuff like that. And then they have one that is a luxury train now that it goes through. It's in like Germany, I think. And it starts, like, it has like a 5-star restaurant in it. And
oh my God.
It's beautiful. And it starts at 9,000 euros.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
No, not going to happen. I mean, I like a regular train, you know? Like, I find them nice. They're aesthetic if you buy a window. I like a train,
yeah. They just take a lot better.
Yeah, it feels safer to me than a plane or a yacht.
Yeah.
Like, planes are fast, but at what cost, you know?
The environment.
I hate planes. Despite liking traveling. Like, you're so close to people. That's the part I just...
I think I just, like, I'm so used to planes that even if I'm given an inch of luxury or comfort on them, I'm like, this is amazing.
You're, like, so extra, like, foot room?
Yeah. This is amazing. I can stay on these for hours because I've, like, been traveling internationally, which is very privileged to say since I was very young. So I've only known, like, really long flights.
Yeah.
So the idea of being able to, like, sit in first class, like, the Emirates first class...
Where you that can lie seems down. Amazing.
Yeah, and you have your little pod, and then they, like, give you all these goodies, and you have a shower on the plane.
That sounds, like, I would love to do that one day, but again, at what cost? Like, $10,000.
Man, I mean, I know at some people, like, we joke with our family, like, it might even be worth it to, like, just buy a ticket just to experience it. Like, you go to Dubai and you don't stay in Dubai. You immediately fly home, you know, economy. But you experience that first class.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going, I feel like if you go often far enough, like, to experience it once, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Yacht, yeah. I like the idea of a yacht. Mm. But for me, traveling via yacht, I'd rather just be, like, on a boat nearby land.
Same. I don't want to be, like, in the middle of the ocean. That's a little freaky to me. I'm not a Donald Poseidon.
Well, hilarious. You are a dolphin girl. You're not an ocean person.
I'm a dolphin girl, but I'm not a deep water person, unfortunately. I don't think I'm, like, an up high person. I think I'm just I'm a ground girl.
Ground girl.
That's why I like our trains.
Yeah.
I like my trains. Yeah. Yeah. Glad that's decided. Next week, we will be continuing our journey in the Burning Maze with chapters 25 through 30.
If you're interested in supporting us, you can find us on Patreon. The link is in the episode description, as well as a link to send us an audio message.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at Camp Half Pod. You can email us camphalfpod@gmail.com. And if you're interested in joining our Discord, you can either email us or message us on Instagram to get that link.
Don't forget to rate and review if you haven't already.
Bye-bye.
Bye.